Listen to World Pastor Tony Alamo being interviewed by Greg Szymanski right now.
Okay, we are back on the Investigative Journal for our second hour, and my guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. Pastor Alamo has a ministry all over. He has several different churches across the country and also around the world. His Word of God, the message of the Bible, has spread from the time he was converted. After being one of the biggest Hollywood record promoters in the country, he was a promoter of many famous singers, decided to just cast that aside, spread the word of God, and tell the truth. And he doesn't leave out the Vatican, and for that reason I applaud his efforts, because it takes a lot to fight them. I know that firsthand. And we are not going to stop on this show, the Investigative Journal. And you can catch Pastor Alamo's message at his website, alamoministries.com. Also, he's on so many different stations all over the country. It will take me too long to go through all of them, but let me just mention a couple. He's on WMQM in Memphis, WITA, Knoxville, Little Rock, that's KAY. WVNJ, that's in New York. He's in Dallas, L.A., Atlanta, Chicago, Las Vegas, Fort Smith, and on many shortwave networks. He's also on Radio Free Africa, also in Sri Lanka, in the Philippines, and his message is getting across, and it's a good one. It's the message of God in the Bible that the Vatican has tried to suppress over the course of centuries, killing millions in genocide that we've documented on this show. And the message is this, folks: if we don't recall what happened in history and face the evildoers, we may lose our country. Pastor Alamo preaches that. And on this show, you'll get many people who come on and give you this message. Look at the Jesuit order and really what they've done over the centuries, and look at how they've lied and killed millions for this false God that they profess to be. There are people who go around saying they're close to God, but they're actually not. For this, for spreading this message over the course of 30 years, and in 2 hours, I can't get everything that Pastor Alamo has done in his life, and we'll have him on again next month, but we're going to try, because you need to listen to how one person can make a difference. Pastor Alamo has done that. But for his efforts to trying to spread the Bible, Word of God, and try to help, he's helped many, many people over the years, too, by, like he mentioned, buying homes, helping the poor. And I've talked to a couple of people close to him that have been working with him for 40 years, and they've told me he's the real deal. And I wanted you to hear his story. But for that, I brought on an former FBI agent, John Peeler. And John Peeler was assigned a task in Arkansas to bring down Pastor Alamo in any way possible. These orders came right from, at that time, Governor Clinton and others in Arkansas. Now, Pastor Alamo, while we talk to John, I want you to feel free to ask any questions. John, if you have anything to say to Pastor Alamo, he's on. So for these next 20 minutes or so, I'll keep you, John. Tell us how this happened, how you first heard of Pastor Tony Alamo. Go ahead.
Okay. I've seen his handout. He's had little handouts that he's done for years and years trying to tell the truth about what's happening with the government and religion and the world problems and so forth, and predicted many things long before they ever happened and so forth. So I was aware of the man, but I just knew that he was a charismatic preacher that went around helping out young people, had people going around picking out people in buses and vans and so forth, and taking them and finding them jobs and helping them find the homes and apartments and just going around helping people out and doing good deeds and so forth. And I was downtown Little Rock. I was either in the courthouse or the federal building where I was assigned at the time, doing some jobs for the Violent Crime Task Force, and he even put leaflets around the building and so forth, and they would always jump up and down and raise Cain when he put his leaflets around the building and so forth, and I'd look at his bulletin and so forth, and I really couldn't find anything that wrong. You know, I couldn't find anything wrong with him at all. And he knows more about world events and what's happening and what's going to happen than I do. And I'm looking at his stuff, and I couldn't find nothing wrong with it. And my bosses and the people I'm working for, they're just going ballistic over this stuff. I mean, they're just going crazy over it. And I have apologized to Pastor Alamo, and you know, for what my part and so forth. But see, William Jefferson Bligh, also known as William Jefferson Clinton, wanted, I was told by my superiors, that he wanted Pastor Alamo to give him money, because Pastor Alamo had a lot of it, well, his ministry had a lot of it. He was giving it away to people, but his ministry had a lot of money. But Bill Clinton wanted his support and wanted his political support, wanted him to get behind him and stand behind him and say that he was behind him. And I was told by my superiors that Pastor Alamo would not do this because he didn't think that Bill Clinton was a nice person and worthy of his support. So he had gotten behind some politicians and so forth in the past, and Clinton wanted him bad and didn't get him. So they told me to get him at all costs. I went and met with his people at Alma, Arkansas, and different places and talked to him. And
now, I could just break in for a minute, John. Pastor Alamo, was Clinton trying to court you and to get you to support him?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the mayor of Dyer wanted me to write a letter to Governor Clinton because Governor Clinton came to a restaurant that I owned. Actually, it was owned by the church, and he wanted to meet Dolly Parton. Well, I didn't know the scandal that would eventually come out on him. I didn't know why he wanted to meet Dolly Parton, but he came in, and we had some food together. We ate and talked a little bit, and he says, Pastor Lama, could you introduce me to Dolly Parton? She was singing there that night and on a Friday and Saturday night. And so I said, sure, I'll go back and ask her, you know, if she would like to meet you know, the governor of the state. And so I went back, and she said, sure, let him come on back. And a bunch of the sheriffs from the different counties around were there, and they wanted to meet her, too. So he even mentioned this in the governor, being President Clinton, mentioned this event in his book, but he lied. He stated that his wife was there, and she, honest to God, was not. And he also stated that he said, I look like some singer on speed. And he said, well, Susie is a pretty good preacher, and that I promote her. And because now that she's dead, I don't have anything to promote. Well, my God, how could a president of the United States stoop so low? Yes, to say something like that, because since Susie's been dead, I promoted my own jackets. I designed all these jackets that the stars made, and I promoted, I sold them to help build houses for people and everything, but I never sold my Beatles album. But anyway, he put that in there, and because I introduced him to Dolly Parton, I wrote the letter to him, and the mayor of Dyer, Arkansas, wanted a new fire truck, and a firehouse, and so I wrote him the letter. I said, he won't. He said, he'll do it for you. And so I wrote it, and sure enough, and they said that there were no funds available for anything, and within 2 days, they had their fire trucks, two fire trucks, and also a firehouse. Then there was Mrs. Rappaport, who was with the Child Welfare Department, and she had government, FBI and U.S. Marshals come storming on our property because we didn't have a daycare license. And I said, what do we need a daycare license for up here? Because the mothers take care of their own children. And she,
right.
So it went on and on. And so then I got a message from my friend, Bobby C. Taylor, who is now deceased. He said, I was traveling from Florida out to back to Arkansas, and he was on the car phone. He says, Tony, do you want your friend in Little Rock to get rid of Mrs. Rappaport for you? And I says, no, Bobby, no, just let the Lord take care of her. The next day in the newspapers, it stated that Mrs. Rappaport was fired and not able to work on any government jobs again.
Wow.
Because he immediately... These guys in government can pick up the phone just like Bush did and have all of my business, the Alamo of Nashville, which was the number one clothing store in the world, closed down. It wasn't the biggest in the world, but it was the best. We closed all the superstars, including the Beatles, Paul Newman, you name them, Lucille Ball, Frank Sinatra. We had the Elvis Presley and the Stamps Quartet and Dolly Parton and you name them. And hundreds of people like Don King. You can see him wearing my USA jacket on almost every fight that he's on. And Tyson, I've done jackets for all these people. And so Bush had the marshals move on my store and took millions of dollars worth of clothes away that I was supporting the people.
Wow.
So,
well, let's, Pastor Lama, let's get back to former FBI agent John Peeler. John, how did these orders come down? And tell us how you progressed to try to bring down Pastor Alamo. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm in the. It was either the federal building or the court, the courthouse downtown Little Rock, and I'm looking at Pastor Tony Alamo newsletter and so forth. And while I'm looking at one that had been passed out that day on the cars around the parking lots and so forth and around the streets, they come to me, the FBI agent. I'm trying to think of which FBI agent it was, but anyway. The FBI agents and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Fire agents were having a conference in the building, and they came to me and told me that I had, with the Violent Crime Task Force, I had to go and find out all the information I could about Pastor Alamo, and I had, if at all possible, they wanted him to be David Koresh before David Koresh was David Koresh. They said,
so they were serious about
Pastor Alamo. They were more serious than he probably realized. That he realizes now, but at the time, he probably didn't realize how serious they were, because I had been out in the field trying to find out about information about him and trying to find out some of his people that would turn on him and so forth, and I couldn't find anybody that would do such a thing. So anyway,
you out to find some dirt on him.
That's exactly right, and I couldn't find any dirt, so I couldn't find he was. I found dirt or something on nearly everyone I investigated. I mean, pastors, all kind of people, but I couldn't find any dirt on him at all. I mean, he was squeaky clean. So I went back and reported this to my bosses, and they told me this is not going to happen, you know. And they told me, go out and get a shipment of machine guns and silencers or hand grenades or whatever and try to deliver it to his compound and say that he had a sign on the fence that said, no firearms or even air rifle. He had a sign on his gate of his fence of the compound that he had that said no firearms were allowed. So, I mean, you know, he was not into firearms. His people told me he's not into firearms. I mean, I'd talked to David Koresh's people before the Koresh thing, and he was a firearms dealer. They were into firearms. But they wanted him to be David Koresh and make an example out of him before they went down on David Koresh. And they were able to do it to David Koresh, but they were not able to do it to Pastor Alamo because he was squeaky clean.
So basically, they said, okay, try to get him on a weapons charge. That
right.
Didn't work.
That is correct. So finally,
then
I went back.
Did they even say did they want you to not
they told me,
kill
they
him?
They told me if all else failed, I should even kill him if I had to, but to try to make it look like an accident. Any way I could to terminate him with extreme prejudice, to take him out any way I could, but they would rather defame him if at all possible. Was the
now, what year are we talking about here, John?
What year was it, Pastor Alamo?
Oh, let's see. what year was that? Well, that's going back, let's say, 80, somewhere in the 80s, I think.
It was in the 80s, but anyway, my memory is not as probably good as Pastor Alamo's because I did so many deals with so many people, but the main reason he stood out is because he was so squeaky clean.
Yeah.
And I went back to my bosses and told them, look, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I killed a lot of people for the United States government. But I said, this guy is a pastor. I can't find anything wrong with him. I've never killed a pastor. I don't want to change my luck right now. And this guy is so squeaky clean. I mean, you know, you might as well tell me to kill Jesus Christ because this guy can't find anything wrong with him. And he goes around doing these good. And they told me they didn't want to hear that. And I had to come up with some plan, and if I didn't want to do it, they would get someone else to do it. And I told them, look, the only way you're going to get this guy is you're going to have to scam him on some kind of tax deal. It's the only way you're going to get this guy. If you want to get him and defame him, you're going to have to do it on a tax deal. And that's what they finally did to Pastor Alamo. They got
Pastor Alamo mentioned that in the last hour,
right.
How they railroaded him to jail for 4 years.
They totally railroaded him. In fact, I talked to some of the federal agents involved with the IRS and so forth, and they told me they're not ready to come forward now. I tried to get them to talk to you and Pastor Alamo, but they're not ready for it yet, but maybe someday they will. One of them has retired from the agency, and he claims to be a Christian now, and I've tried to get him to come forward, but I don't think he's ready for it yet. But he was an IRS agent, one of them that scammed on Pastor Alamo. But there was a world of people involved in the character assassination of Pastor Alamo. I mean, I was just one of the cogs in the wheels of, you know, misjustice against the man. And like I said, I apologize to him now as I apologized to him years ago, because he's so squeaky clean and such a decent person. He's one of them that made me feel bad about the job I was doing, because most of the people I was doing things with had done a lot of things wrong.
Right. And so you finally left the FBI after that, correct?
Well, not too long after that, but it's a long story. But they had me doing things to people that were not bad people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was the top of the list. I mean, he was just totally squeaky clean. I mean, the leader of the Invisible Empire, the Knights of Ku Klux Klan, I mean, he was a Phineas priest. He was doing evil stuff. And they forced me to frame a guy named Wilbur Hale. And I apologize to him for framing him, you know what I'm saying? But he was the high Phineas priest of Ku Klux Klan. You got to murder two people in cold blood to be a Phineas priest of Ku Klux Klan. And, I mean, that's the kind of people I was taking down. And Pastor Alamo, I mean, he was at the top of the heap of the decent guys, not at the bottom of the heap of the bad guys. And I was with the Violent Crime Task Force. We were after drug kingpins and just really evil people.
Right, and I want to get back to a little bit of your story, John, but I want to ask Pastor Alamo this question. Did you realize how in danger you were back then? I mean, they had a hit out on you through our own government.
Yeah, well, I knew that the Lord was with me, and I just never gave much thought to it any more than I do today. I know that there's after me today as they ever were, but now it's just like, you know, hair racing to hear a former federal government agent, such as John Peeler, and they threw his son in prison because he wouldn't do the evil that they were telling him to do. And they said that they framed him for murder, and they don't even have a body, and they don't have any evidence any more than they had on me when they sent me to prison for an IRS charge. And so,
John,
I mean, admire John Peeler, because there's very few government agents that will come out and say that they had something to do or they knew these other different people, like the World Trade Center and also the
Oklahoma City bombing. Right. John knows about the Waco, the truth behind Waco.
He knows how evil the government agents are, because he used to be one, and he repented and got out of there, you know, and that's what everybody should do. And I admire the man. I mean, he's so much more powerful than any minister of the gospel that I know, so much more powerful than these people that call themselves pastors, because they won't make a stand for anything. They won't even associate, because they're afraid if they call you, and the government traces the fact that they called you, that they're going to be persecuted too, and they don't want persecution. That's why they don't even mention the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. You see, when they're praying people through, they won't do that. But he's taken this persecution, and it's amazing that nobody will do anything about his son in prison to help get him out. But
yeah, John, can you tell us that story briefly, what happened to your son?
Sure. I'd love to. Anyway, after I refused to do a few of these deals and got upset about these deals that happened, Pastor Alamo was the main one, the one that broke the bank on me. And after I refused to do these deals and assassinations and so forth, they told me if I'm not going to do right by them, they're not going to do right by me. And I had, you know, they tried to frame me for murder, and they were unsuccessful. So they framed my youngest son, who was a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, and he was squeaky clean. His name is John Christopher Peeler, and now he's number 107832 at East Arkansas Regional Unit, Post Office Box 180, Brickey, Arkansas, 72320-0180. He's doing life without parole for murder. Like Pastor Alamo said, there's no body, there's no weapon, there's no blood, there's no hair, there's no forensic evidence, there's no eyewitnesses, there's no crime scene, there's no forensics. But anyway, they said that he and I murdered a missing person. Well, first of all, a psychic for the Little Rock Police Department named Carol Pate said that a missing person wasn't really a missing person, that the person had been murdered. And then they tried to give my son credit for it, because allegedly this young man had gone with my son's wife before he had married her, and allegedly had raped her. but this never took place. This was all just made-up stuff. And the psychic said the kid wasn't really missing. He was murdered. Based on a psychic, they got a warrant, an arrest warrant and search warrant for my son and myself, and they arrested me first, and then they arrested my son and charged us with first-degree capital murder. And when my son, I was supposed to go to court first, but I didn't go. He went first, but it got turned around. And he went, and when they convicted him and framed him, and it was just a total miscarriage of justice, and it was totally based on my government involvement, and I knew that, and the government agents even told me before and during and after court that that's what it was. But then I called the White House and talked to a Secret Service agent. I talked to Terry Edwards and other Secret Service agents that I'd known and worked with and told them, look, this is not going to work. I said, when they get me on the stand, I'm going to tell things that I did and deals that I did when I did deals for William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton. And they said, you signed a secrecy clause and were sworn in by a judge and so forth. You can't do that. I said, well, just hide and watch. So anyway, they had sent the secrets. I had an appointment. My son had a lawyer, that William MacArthur, that I thought was a good lawyer. He had murdered his wife and got away with it, so I thought he could handle a case for a guy that was innocent. But obviously, he had made deals with the Little Rock Police and owed them favors and so forth. And I found out later he's an alcoholic, and I didn't know that at the time. And he was involved in a lot of dirty deals with the government. I knew that he was involved in deals and so forth, but I thought because of that he would be a good lawyer instead of a bad one. You know, he had played the system and so forth. But anyway, when I went to court, they had me go at the wrong day and the wrong time before the court and the building even opened up. And I went up, two Secret Service agents met me at the doorstep. They had their automatic pistols with them. They refused to leave me at the desk. They got on either side of me. They went up, and they had talked to my appointed lawyer, and he had told me not to say one word, not to say anything in court. I went up to court. They said, case dismissed. They dropped the charges against me because they didn't want me to dish out the dirt on Bill Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton and so forth about the things I knew about them. They didn't want that dished out in the public. So they dropped the charge, and there were all kind of media people there and so forth because people have been in court when I testify in drug cases, murder cases, firearm cases, different kind of cases. So there were a whole lot of news people there, but they had me going when every time I went to court, but they had me going the wrong day, the wrong time before the court happened, and case dismissed. And the Secret Service agent said, this is Arkansas. The poor little rent-a-cop security guard lady that was at the desk, when they came in, they showed their badges. They said they were Secret Service. She told them they couldn't take their firearms in the building. They said, this is Arkansas. We're not leaving our firearms with you or anybody else. They took the firearms in the building into the courtroom. She was calling her superiors and everything and about to cry because she didn't know what to do. But, I mean, these guys had hog legs on them now.
So, John, basically what they did is they then framed your son for a murder charge, correct? For
right,
you going
right.
public.
They tried to frame me, and they were unsuccessful. They framed him. Yes, sir, that is correct.
Now, you told me before also this happened. When you were started to go speak on the radio shows like mine, they contacted you again.
That is correct.
And said, if you keep quiet, we'll maybe let him out. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct. I had agents of the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Secret Service, Central Intelligence Agency. They all met with me. They searched me. They checked me out, make sure I wasn't wired for sound. We met at a little public park down the street from us. We met. They told me if I'd quit talking to people like you and on talk radio shows and quit telling things I knew about the Clinton family and so forth, if there was not a body in my son's case, they would, and they checked on it, they would let him go. And they refused. And for 6 months, I didn't talk on any shows, didn't talk on your show, didn't tell you anything about the. They told me they didn't want me talking about Oklahoma, the World Trade Center, FACO, none of the things I'd been involved with. And they said, if I didn't talk about those things, they'd let my son go. And they didn't. 6 months later, they didn't keep their deal, so I'm back to talking to you again, sir.
And what have they said about you coming on my show?
Oh, they were very upset about it, and you in particular. And I told my wife, well, we moved, my current wife, who's got the most life insurance she can get on me. But anyway, I'm hard on wives, sir. I'm not bragging. I'm complaining because, you know, with my job and my outlook on life, thank God I've seen the light. Thanks to Pastor Alamo and others, I've seen the light. And by the grace of God, you know, if I die tomorrow, you know, I think I have peace right now because I'm trying to do right by God and man. But anyway, my son is paying the price for my sins because I worked and did all the dirty deals done dirt cheap for a government that's just totally out of control, sir.
Yes. Yeah, and is there any hope right now of getting him out of jail?
Well, Pastor Lama and other people are looking into it, and people like you on the radio shows and so forth that I've talked to, and a guy named Dwayne Graham, who's a private investigator, he's been looking to it, and he ended up, that was part of the main reason why he lost his job with Fox News, is he reported on my son's case and wanted to bring it to light and had me talking about my involvement with Oklahoma and the World Trade Center and all these plans that we had made years ago. As I told you before, you know, the plan on the Oklahoma building and the World Trade Center started in 1983, sir. It was not an accident. And like I said, Pastor Alamo, he was going, they wanted him to be the David Koresh before Vernon Wayne Howe was David Koresh. They wanted him to be the guy that was a religious leader that went bad, was into weapons and child abuse and so forth that they come down on and had the assault yeah. on. And so
you know
forth.
What we'll do, John? We're going to get in. That's a really long story.
Yes, it is.
And those items, we're going to have you on for 2 hours all by yourself
okay.
in the weeks to come. And we're going to get into Oklahoma City, the information you had on the World
sure.
Trade Center, David Koresh and others.
Right.
But
I know you're talking about Pastor
Lamo,
and I'd like to say I called those lawyers he told me about, and I talked to their secretaries and so forth, but they never called me back or anything. But, you know, I thank God for Pastor Lamo and people like you that try to get the truth out to the American people, because when a guy named John Sargent with a freelancer for the BBC came and talked to me, he didn't have no trouble with what I said about Oklahoma and Waco and about the upcoming World Trade Center assault. He had no trouble believing me or that I was telling the truth or anything about it. But when I told him my son was in prison for murder with no body and no forensic evidence, he did not believe that. But he was,
right.
you know, from London, England, and he just didn't believe that that happened in America.
Yes. Right, and Pastor, go ahead, Pastor Lamo. I know you have some words to say here. We had about a minute or two with John. Go
yes.
ahead.
You know, people watch these Gestapo movies in Germany, and the federal and state Gestapo agencies here in the United States are Catholic, just like they were in Germany. It's just a replay. That was a dress rehearsal, what they did in Germany. This is the real thing right now. This is a final takeover, and it's just sad that taxpayers' money are going out to pay wages to these kind of people.
Well, here's what we're going to do, Pastor Lamo. You stay on. We're going to take a short break. You stay on the line for the next half hour. And John Peeler, I want to have you on again. So thank you for being with us today.
Hey, God bless you.
And then
I will
get a hold of Pastor Lamo. We'll see if we can get a hold of those lawyers for you, okay?
Okay, hey, thank you, guys. God bless you all.
God bless you, too, bro.
We'll be back right after this short message on the Investigative Journal.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet. Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar's.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773.
Okay, we're back. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. We've got a half hour. Boy, this 2 hours went by quick listening to the investigative journal. And we just heard from former FBI agent John Peeler. And I think he's an example of how one man can make a difference because there's hundreds just like John who are doing the same evil deeds for the government, trying to bring down good people. And that needs to be stopped. And it's only by people like John coming forward and telling us and exposing the evils that are going on, that we can ever get to the root of the problem. So there should be no doubt what Pastor Alamo is telling you is true in how they finally did railroad him into jail for 4 years on an IRS, a bogus IRS charge, and John said that was the only thing they could do at the time. So I really wanted to get him on. And it's really unfortunate, isn't it, Pastor, how they treated his son over this? It's just amazing, a life sentence for nothing.
Right. Well, they've done that to so many people in Germany, they've been doing it here. Anyone that's good or somebody that's really preaching the gospel, they have to attack, because Satan, the only way that he can work is in darkness, and the Word of God is the light. And so the biggest enemy to Satan is the Word of God, and all the people that work for Satan are hell-bent to do everything that they can to put the people that are preaching the gospel down and exposing these evil people like you are. And they even offer to pay drug users and alcoholics to bring false witness against you, thieves, and people like government agents that are out there murdering people like they did in Waco and they did in the federal building in
Oklahoma City.
And then also that was the stage thing. They wanted us to go to war to attack Iraq, not primarily for oil, but it's because the Vatican has to take over the entire world and make it desolate. That's what the Bible said would happen. And the only way they know how to do it is to organize a one-world cult, a one-world government, and a one-world media.
You know what I find very, very strange? A lot of these preachers, these evangelists on television now, even a lot of Baptist ministers, a lot of people that are out there supposedly, and I use that word in quotes, supposedly spreading the word of God, are at the same time backing Bush's illegal war in Iraq.
Absolutely.
Can you explain to me what's going on? They must be bought and paid for.
They're afraid to
die. Because it doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, the Bible says, that's why the Bible states in the last book of the Bible that the fearful, they're scared to death. I mean, if they, these federal agents are more afraid than anybody. That's why I really take my hat off to John Peters, because they've done everything in their power to frighten him. But that's why the fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire with the whoremongers, the liars, the thieves, the adulterers, the homosexual. They're getting even to the point to where they're afraid to mention, you know, that a homosexual, according to the Word of God, will go to hell. And I believe the Word of God. God speaks, and when He says something, it's for real. And these people that are frightening people to death, you just can't get anybody. You know, they're even afraid to give a tithe or an offering to a church that's really, you know, hitting the nail right on the head. They're afraid to give money to you. I mean, the American public should send millions of dollars to you because you're getting the truth out. As a matter of fact, it's the Winnebago beers. I bid $3,000. You said it starts at $1,000. I'll spend $3,000 on it to help you out in that matter.
All right, I'm going to do that, and all you got to do is pick it up in New Orleans.
Okay. We'll wait to see if anybody tops my bid.
All right, well, we got a $3,000 bid on the Winnebago. Let's see if it's topped. And thank you so much. That'll get me through the month.
Yeah, you shouldn't even have to auction your stuff off. A bunch of frightened rabbits in this country should be sending you millions of dollars to get this word out so you can go on television and all over the place. They should be doing the same thing for me, because I'm not a fearful person. I'm not unbelieving. I believe what God says, and I fear Him and Him only. And He says, He commands people to give tithes and offerings to people that are getting the truth out. And so people are too afraid to do it because they fear Satan, which God forbids you to do. They fear Him rather than the Lord. Of all things, the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything on it, and who spoke, I mean, He actually speaks, He spoke the entire heavens and earth into existence. And so people should send finances, but even though people don't send them to me, I could get millions of things more done, as well as yourself, if people sent in their tithes and offerings, that they're like frightened rabbits. I've actually seen like almost little drops of icy sweat stand up on people, even when they're talking to me, because they know you're right. Even my uncle, who says everybody knows you're right, but they haven't got the guts to say it. He just passed away a couple of years ago. They don't have nothing. Why don't, you know, I would hate to go out to meet God and have Him say, you knew the truth and you didn't come out of the closet, therefore you're going to hell because you had no mercy on anybody. You didn't speak up and speak out like I told you to, like He told Ezekiel and like He told everyone to do in the Bible, the Old Testament and New. Moses was scared, but he went anyway. And so people, you know, we're not going to live here very much longer. We're like grass. We're like a puff of smoke. We're vapory, grassy. We're like little blades of grass. We're not going to be here long. And, man, it would really grieve me to go to my grave without telling the people in this world, in a merciful effort, to get them to step out of the closet and be counted for, because you're going to stand before God whether you want to or not. And, you know, you take somebody like Greg here and John Peeler and there's others, and myself, you know, like you got to, the Bible says we're supposed to be like Christian soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, pick up our cross and follow Him. You can't hide. You hide from the American people the Word of God, and it's like you're covering the light that God has given you under a bushel. And you're going to have to pay for that, because we're called to enlighten the world. And if you don't tell who the devil is, how are people going to know who it is that you have to resist? the devils and the federal government agencies and all the media and this cult of his tells everybody, you got to resist Tony Alamo. You've got to resist Greg Szymanski. You got to resist John Peeler. Keep his son in jail. Why, you bunch of weasels, you ought to step up, stand up, and try to get this kid out of jail. Don't you think, Greg?
Yeah, and I agree with you totally, because really the American people, I can think now, I'm just thinking as you're talking, all the people that in their heart know the truth that are lying to the American public in the media, let's just start with them. It doesn't just start with the mainstream media. There are many people I worked with in the alternative media who've tried to get rid of me. And I know why, because they're being paid by the Vatican.
Absolutely.
And I keep telling them it's not going to work. It's only going to get stronger. And try to tell the truth. And all I ask the media, this is such an interesting subject, Pastor Alamo, all I've ever asked the media is to give this story about the real evildoers, the Vatican and all their controllers, fair play. I'm not asking them even to believe it, but they won't even mention it.
No, they're scared to death. That's what it is they're frightened to death, and they're frightened they're going to lose their jobs. They're frightened that maybe their kid will be thrown in prison. They're frightened that maybe they'll be thrown in prison. I was thrown in prison. I knew that that might happen, but it's better to go to prison and suffer some persecution, some minor persecution like that on this side of eternity, than it would be to stand before the judgment bar of God and have your soul cast into the lake of fire, hell, and the lake of fire, and be there forever. I mean, well, you know, life is so short. Why mess around? Why, you know, pitsy-patsy around? I wouldn't be able to go to bed at night if I would withhold these things within my soul. It's just like I have to say it. I mean, I have to, because I know it's the truth. And that's what I don't understand. You know, I understand, you know, that they're scared, but they should be. If they had the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is also wisdom. Not only the beginning of wisdom, but it is wisdom. And so, if they fear God, then they won't fear Satan, or the actual machine of Satan. The machine of Satan is the Vatican, the world government, and the media. Those three. It's the unholy machine, the unholy trio, and it's all powered by the spirit of Satan. And if people are afraid of Satan rather than the Lord, well, then you're going to spend eternity with him. And that's what the Bible says. And so,
yeah, and it's no different today.
What's that?
No, it's no different. But well, I was going to say, it's no different today than it was hundreds of years ago when people were being burnt at the stake.
Right. They stood up. They stood up. I mean, I figured there could be a bullet put through my head any time. I mean, you know, after hearing John Peeler, and I've known this, and I've heard it from other government agents too, including congressmen and senators, and some of them have quit. They stopped doing it. One of them is the candy manufacturer in Florida. I don't want to mention his name, but he just quit. He wouldn't sign statements or anything, but he knew it was the truth. And several others of them, and they just wouldn't sign statements, but they quit because they didn't want to be any part of that. But what people have to realize is, even though you're not part of it, if you know of it, you should warn people and back people like us up, so that people can, you know, get confidence. The media is constantly saying, no, you know, the Vatican is, and they're covering up all the things. And the reason that people are believing is because there's nobody speaking out against it. That's what happened in Nazi Germany, when the Gestapo would bring charges against people that were false, and they herded millions of them into the gas chambers, and then into the ovens, and then murdered a lot of them, and they fell in a ditch. And that's what's happening here. They're bringing guillotines into the country. Yeah, they've been doing that for years, and they're building prisons now that are actually gas chambers, so that in the event that all hell breaks loose, they can just turn the faucet on and everybody will be gassed in there. And there's many innocent people in prisons. A lot of guilty ones, but there's a lot of innocent ones as well.
And you said earlier that Nazi Germany was just a dress rehearsal for what they have planned here in America.
Absolutely.
How does this look? What do you think? Look down the road 10 years. What do you see for our country if we don't stand up against these people?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to die between now and 10 years. They're going out to meet the Lord. And they could die tonight. 5 minutes from now, all of us could. We don't know. But this country is finished now. It's too late. There's a lot of people think the only hope is if people repent, and it's not really going to change. A lot of people are preaching we have to get involved in government, because originally government was Moses and the people of Israel. Then you have your false governments like Egypt and places like that, and the United States now that... which originally was built on the Constitution, was the Bible. But now they've got this Roman canon law that we're living by now. 10 years from now, it's only getting worse. Yeah, they're making laws now to, and, you know, one judge gives one decision. The Bible says if somebody kills somebody, it doesn't matter if they're crazy, if they're nuts, if they're out of their mind, they have to die. I mean, there's no exclusion. They've taken the laws of God and made them evil. It's evil to say that homosexuals are going to hell. That's why the Bible says that in the last days, the people of the world will make that which is good evil. They say, we preach the gospel, that's evil. They don't want God. I never did admire Pat Boone's stand in the gospel field until the other night I heard him say, they've taken God out of schools, they've taken God out of the federal buildings, they've taken God out of the White House, they've taken God out of everywhere, and they're asking, why doesn't God bless us? I said, my hat off to you, Pat Boone. Finally, you've set down your cookies and milk, and he looked really angry. That was surprising. I know Pat. You know, I've done business with him. I've recorded at his studio and also been with him at the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen meeting where I rebuked him. But I really was happy to see him making that small stance. Of course, how can God bless America or anywhere else in the world when they've given their souls over to the Vatican, to evil, to Satan? Well, when they did that in the Old Testament, the Lord drowned the whole world, and he's going to burn the world up very soon. And then what are people going to do? They're going to they won't be afraid of Satan anymore. They'll look at him and despise him for having led them into the bowels of hell and the lake of fire. And they're going to be screaming their heads off for the rest of their life. That's what the Bible said. Now, maybe mm-hmm. people out there know more than God does, but God, he makes a deal with us. He says, if you do what I tell you to do, then I'll bless you. If you don't, I'm going to curse you. And that's the deal. God makes a contract. That's what it means, covenant. I made a contract, a deal with you. He's the Jewish God. I make a deal with you. Now, those of you that come unto me, I'll give you rest. That means Sabbath. It's a seven-day Sabbath. And so what is this world going to be 10 years from now? I shudder to think. God says that Satan when he's cast into hell, the people down there that went there because of believing in him will look at him narrowly and say, so you're the one that destroyed the earth. You made it a wilderness. There's nothing left except for them, one of these crazy people, to press the button and blow different countries up, or to release some of this germ warfare and murder everybody in the world. And you talk about people saying that his son murdered somebody, there's nobody. These government agents have murdered millions, hundreds of millions of people under the instructions from the world's most satanic, dangerous cult, and that's the Vatican.
And you know something? I was sent something, and I wanted to read this to you. It's so interesting because I think you may relate to this gentleman too. But you remember Red Skelton, of course,
oh,
don't
yes.
you, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Red Skelton was a famous comedian. Many of the younger listeners may not remember him. And he used to do a live TV show, and you remember that. Every night on his show, he would say good night and God bless. Well, recently on all his CDs that are being sold, those words have been edited out. Okay? Now, a listener who saved some of his shows, and this one came from 1969, this is how he ended. Back then they did live TV, right?
Right.
Well, listen to what Red Skelton said one night on his comedy hour. He ended the show this way. He said this: I pledge allegiance to the flag, not the president, of the United States of America, not the United Nations, and to the republic, not the democracy, for which it stands, one nation, not one world under God, not the New World Order, with liberty, not totalitarianism and justice, not federal stormtroopers and bureaucrats for all, not just traitors. Can you believe Red said that?
Boy, I didn't realize that he was a patriot. I'd love to have a copy of that. I'll put it on my website.
Yeah, I've got the guy. I'm going to have the lady send me the show. This came from a 1969 show he did, and boy, Red was ahead of his time back then, I guess.
Way ahead of his time. I wasn't even saved then either. Man,
yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, but anyway, if I get that, I'll send you that so that you could put it on your website.
I appreciate that information that you gave me on Mother Mother Superior.
Or Mother Teresa.
Yes. That was, I knew that all the time.
Well, you know what happened? A sister, she worked for, her name, it's on my website, June 7th, 2007. Former Catholic sister says even Mother Teresa is a fraud. And that's Susan Shields, who worked for Mother Teresa for 9 years. And she was in charge of documenting the donations. And she found out that millions and millions of dollars was never used for the poor, but is sitting in Vatican bank accounts to this day.
Well, yeah,
and
I mean,
she left in disgust.
That is. And they use those Vatican dollars to pay for these federal agents that are out to kill people that are preaching the truth, to murder them, to assassinate them, and to blow up the federal building and to blow up the World Trade Center and to annihilate those people in Waco, David Koresh and that bunch. And I just thank God for people that are dropping out. When I hear people saying they're resigning, I believe that they've had so much of that garbage that they're sick and tired of it. Just sad that they don't come out and tell why they're resigning. They just, all have about the same thing. Well, we just have something else to do. There isn't anything
exactly
better to do if the government was of the Lord, to get out and just enforce the Lord's government rather than Satan, one world, Antichrist, Roman Catholic, canon law government. That's,
exactly.
10 years from now, it's just every day they're coming up with new laws to take away people's freedoms and make it a totalitarian government to where, you got to think the way that the Vatican does. They have to kill me first. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They know that. That's why they're hiring people to assassinate me. And, if it happens, praise the Lord. They make my day. I'll be in heaven immediately because I know the Lord. And if it doesn't happen, well, praise the Lord for that, too. I'm going to keep talking. Just like the Lord talks, he tells me what to say, and I say it. And everybody will do the same, or they will not enjoy a paradise, the kingdom of heaven.
Right, and again, go to www.alamoministries.com. You can read a lot of Pastor Alamo's writings. And also, I wanted to mention that the Pope and President Bush recently met a couple days ago in Rome. And I wanted to mention this to you, Pastor Alamo. I have a couple inside sources there who tell me a lot about what's going on behind the scenes in the Vatican. And recently there's been a meeting, and this is very interesting, between the Vatican and several higher-up archbishops that are involved in the media in the Vatican. And Dan Brown, who wrote that fake book, their book, you know which one I'm talking about, Da Vinci Code, as well as Tom Hanks and Ron Howard, from Hollywood, and they met with some Illuminati people, and this is a verified meeting in Rome, to discuss the finances and how they're going to bring out their new propaganda movie called Angels and Demons. So you're very familiar, too. We only have a couple minutes, but this connection of Hollywood to the Vatican and how they are basically just a propaganda arm. What do you? What's your thoughts in a minute or two?
Everything is the propaganda talk shows, the except ones like yourself. I mean, we barely are able to be on my program. There's so many different propaganda divisions. It's worse than an octopus. There's like thousands, maybe millions of arms of the Vatican, and they definitely control the movie industry. You just don't see anything that's scriptural, including, you know, the talking about the television, the History Channel comes in with such false doctrine. Nobody should there isn't anybody that should listen to anybody that isn't born again of the Spirit and that has been saved for, you know, years, and somebody that knows what they're talking about. Very few people, but there's people that haven't been saved for a long time that are coming out and saying way more, a lot more. But the movie industry, I mean, when you see this movie that was done about Jesus, who's this actor that, you know, Mel Gibson movie, what a
phony. Oh, yes.
Cat runs around and everything. I heard the beep.
Yeah, we still got, when you hear the music, we'll get off. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, that movie is strictly Catholic. And then you find out that he's anti-Semitic, you know. The Jews that brought the Bible. And
right.
Jews through whom Christ came from. You know,
Pastor Alamo, I want to thank you as always. We'll get you back on the show. We're all out of time. Have a nice evening. Thanks for being on the show. Okay, that was Pastor Tony Lamo. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, on the Investigative Journal. Until then, good night.